First of all, if we need to separate apples and oranges, I guess, so we won't get fruit salad. The big body, the numerically, the largest part of emerging immersion and emergent Christianity is being done now in small groups of under 100 people. That's not a tiny group. That's not some of it is house churches, but it's smaller churches. Then not many mega churches within the emergent movement yet. There's some. Cedar Rock's one. Certainly Mars Hill in Granville is close to. It certainly is a large one, running several thousand people. So they are there. But by and large, these are folk who are gathering in non-sacred, non-traditional sacred space. And you would never confuse what you're seeing with a church building or architecture. Many of them are in pubs. Many of them are in a secular space, commercial space. Mars Hill, where I had the joy of preaching not too long ago, and I'm going back shortly. Mars Hill is in an old shopping mall, where the place for the teaching and the preaching is what was the big lobby of the shopping mall, and it must seat some 5,000 or 6,000 folk. And you stand in a dais right in the middle of rows of chairs all the way around you on all four sides. There is usually a drop-down screen, and I cringe to say that because that becomes a cliche. I hate people who say, I wish I had a nickel for every time, but honest to goodness, I wish I had a nickel for every time some dear Anglican clergyman or woman, usually it's men, has come up afterwards to me quietly and said, would you tell me how to do an emergent church? We already have a drop-down screen. I want to embrace him or love him or laugh, and I can't decide which. The drop-down screen does not an immersion make. The drop-down screen is a recognition of technology. But the drop-down screen is also a recognition of something far more serious, and that is that when you are lost in prayer book, or when you are lost even in the missalette, and more churches, as you know, don't use the prayer book. They publish it in the leaflet, service leaflet. When you're involved in that, you're looking down in the book, and you are deeply individual. One of the things that the emergence protests, as well it should, is that Protestantism, by definition, was based on individualism, and it fostered it because it came out of it. And one of the things is that individualism destroys the beloved community, and one of the cries, the battle cries, if there be a battle of emergent thinking, is give us back the beloved community, and one of the ways to do that is to get rid of those dadgum books that keep your attention down at your hand level, and put everybody up on the same space. If you absolutely have to have the words somewhere, at least put them up there where everybody is looking up and aware of his or her neighbor. So, yes, it's there. Is there recorded music? You better believe there is. It's recorded because this is the age of technology. We lived before the organ was invented. David did quite well without one, I'm told, and the Psalms has probably never been surpassed as a composition. We will live without the organ. Do I think it should be thrown away? Goodness, no. Do I think it will be thrown away? No, but I think it will probably go the way of, you know, the clavichord or something like that. It may take a while. That's a pretty dramatic statement, but it will, and I will. We'll withdraw it right now. That's a little excessive, but we must remember that instruments come and go. The big shift, though, in music is not the nature of the instrumentation, but the fact that the emergence asks for participatory music instead of performed. And by definition, organ music is performed. Only one person can do it at a time. And there's very little way to participate in it. So it, again, is a participatory thing that is involved here. The pews are never in an emergent church. I've never yet seen pews in one now. Watch, somebody's going to call and tell me about one, but I've never seen them. Again, the pews being screwed to the floor were a gift of the Reformation. They were a gift in that we screw you down to the floor and you sit here and all you can do is look up at that lectern because it's sola scriptura, scriptura sola, and you're going to hear it right here and right now. As you know, before the Reformation, people wandered around in the nave. the dogs ran, the people ate, you know, the baby cried, whatever. You played cards over in the corner while the priest droned on. That wasn't necessarily good either. But the screwed down pew is a screwed up mess from the emergent point of view. And I tend to be emergent in that way. So you're going to have loose chairs. You're going to have a great deal of art, not great art. Necessarily, some of it is, but not great art. But you're going to have art being created right there on the spot as people sing, as people praise, as they pray, as they listen and exchange the word of God. There's going to be artistic expression. Sometimes it's clay, some, you know, whatever. There are also going to be I would say modifications, but that's not quite. They're going to be permutations. I love $10 words. They'll let you avoid saying what might be offensive otherwise. They're going to be permutations on the sacraments that will offend some more traditional folk. They're an attempt to open the sacrament and to feel it, to take it out of the tough skin of weathered history and see if it can be engaged again. And most often, of course, that happens in the Eucharist, that being the central sacrament for the Christian church. Yes, there are some differences that way. The liturgy, though, seems to me, or the order of worship, if they would prefer to call it that, seems to me to be becoming more and more first and second century, which is to say more and more Anglican. It's pre-Latin church. If one, though, goes to an emergent church, like Solomon's Porch, for instance, in Minneapolis, let's take that one since it's fairly well known, it is indeed a church, or Church of the Apostles in Seattle, where I just was. They're in old churches. The Church of the Apostles was Lutheran, I believe, originally, or maybe Methodist. I'm not sure. Lutherans own it now. Certainly Solomon's Porch in Minneapolis was a Methodist church. And they are churches that were on the skids. It's buildings, not his faith. You know, they in areas that have gone down, they've lost their congregations. They're sitting there empty, and emergents come along and for a dollar a year or something like that can rent the building and pay the taxes and keep the lights on. No emergent congregation wants bricks and mortar. One of the things they deplore about traditional Protestantism is its absolute need to build greater castles to itself and to accrue huge mortgages and all of that kind of thing. Another basic premise of the emergent community is it must worship where it lives and serve where it lives and worships. So that the church usually, if it is a church, is surrounded by those who worship there, or if not, they try to come into the neighborhood. There is always a serious soup kitchen, and it is always understood that that's also the church's fellowship. That is to say, whoever comes in is welcome. You're indigent, you stink, you're homeless. Well, you know, I'm not homeless and I don't stink, but sit down and we'll talk. There is no cleaning out of the fellowship hall so we can now let in the hoi polloi. It's open more or less 24 hours a day to whoever wants food, that kind of thing. When you go into the sacred or the so-called consecrated or sacramentalized area, usually there are couches, living room chairs. Most of them, I suspect, having said it, a number of them from the Goodwill band or wherever, they've been contributed, to say the least. They weren't bought new, not recently, not in the last 10 or 15 years anyway. They weren't new. They are deployed all over what once was a nave and is usually now cleared of everything except this furniture. They invite a group conversation. And if somebody wants to sit in the middle of all the little clusters and sit on a stool and declaim the word, great. Or if somebody wants to strum a guitar, great. It will be praise music, GIA and Maranatha or Taze or Celtic, pure Celtic. And we will praise and we will worship, and there will be some of the best sermons, honest to goodness, you ever hope to hear, because they're fresh, they're passionate. They seek to answer the question, how now do you incarnate your God? And Protestantism doesn't ask that much anymore. and maybe never did really. How now do you introduce into your mental habits and into your moral life your God is a different question from how now do you incarnate your God. So everything is total incarnation. There's an old joke that the Reformation took Christianity north, which doesn't mean just Scotland and Holland and Scotland. It means also north on the body to the head. And the emergent folk will say, now let's bring it back where God meant it to be. The kingdom of God is within you, not in your head, but in your heart, or it is in the combination of the two. Is emergent anti-intellectual? No. Is it relativistic? Oh, goodness, no, it's not relative. Is it iconoclastic? Yeah. All new things are.